You're listening to the Epic Youth Ministry Podcast. For more awesomeness, visit epicym.org.
So one of the things that I love about the Bible, obviously I'm a pastor, there's infinitely amazing things. There's 66 books and it's just, I love it. But one thing we're about to see tonight in the book of Ephesians, where we've been in this series, Who Do You Think You Are, is that it's real. It's raw. It's honest. And almost, probably safe to say, every book of the Bible deals with pain, deals with suffering, and it's something that all of us deal with. Even just today, I don't know if you saw on Facebook, but it was National Cancer Awareness Day. And I'm sure safe to say, all of you, you've been affected by cancer. For my wife and I, she lost her grandmother to cancer, and I lost my grandmother to cancer. And it was just an interesting, kind of sobering walk down memory lane of what that season was like for her and for me today, just remembering that pain, remembering my grandmother's struggle and what that was like. And I appreciate the Bible so much because it really deals with suffering, unlike most of us are willing to really sit down and deal with it. And tonight, for the series, Who Do You Think You Are, in Ephesians chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, turn there now, Ephesians chapter 3, Paul deals with suffering. He talks about his suffering. And I love it because it's, in a way, in the middle of a thought. Because last week we talked about Jews, Gentiles, reconciliation, those two people groups, everyone needs Jesus. And then in the middle of continuing that, he talks about his suffering. He talks about his imprisonment. It's almost like in the middle of a thought, here comes suffering. And I love that because that's how actual suffering is. You don't schedule pain, do you? You don't open up iCal and go, you know what? I think I can go for a tragic loss 2 weeks from now. Like, we don't do this. It's never something you know. It's just out of nowhere, you're in the middle of it. Out of nowhere, the floor's dropped out from under you. Out of nowhere, you're in suffering. So many questions. But I want to ask you, what do you do with suffering? Because all of us will suffer. All of us have suffered. But none of us, Christian or non-Christian, will escape pain in life. So the question is not, will you suffer? Will you go through pain? I think by now you're already aware of that's not the question. But the question is, how will you suffer? How will you go through pain? Will you, in that moment of disparity and confusion, will you lose all hope in God? Will you lose all hope in life, lose all hope in the friends and family that you have? Will it get the best of you? Or will you cling to God, cling to Jesus in the midst of your suffering and find hope and find fulfillment not in the situation but in God and your friends and family who love you? The sad thing is that I know for this group of students, this is not something that's way off in left field and you're just like, gosh, I really wish I had something to relate to in this sermon, but I've spoken with many of you. And I say this as often as I can, and I should say it every week. I am proud of you. There are so many of you that are going through darkness and going through hell in a way that I have yet to experience, and I never experienced whatsoever when I was in middle school and high school. I know there are so many broken homes in this room that you're trying your best to hold your mom and dad together and it's not working. And I'm proud of you for being here and I'm proud of you for your faith. I know there's sickness in this room, either here or people that you know. And it's real and it's close and it's horrible. And I can't imagine walking through that. I genuinely, along with your leaders, I am proud of you. I am so proud for many of you. I say this a lot too, and I'll keep on saying it till you tell me to shut up. You're the first link in that chain in your family, the only person who goes to church, or the only person who's a Christian. You're a missionary to your own home. I know sometimes it's hard because you're like, how am I going to be able to speak to my dad about God? How am I going to be able to speak to my mom about God? They won't even listen to me when I'm telling them about my favorite TV show, you know, let alone something important. I'm proud of you. So again, the question is not, will you suffer? The question is, how will you suffer? And Paul's going to walk through suffering for us tonight in such a beautiful way because, again, I love the Bible. And it gives us hope through pain and suffering, confusion, unlike anything else can, because it's from God. So five things real quick. In the book by the Resurgence that we get our series title from goes through 14 different kinds of suffering. I'm just going to give you five. If you want more, you go ahead, Google it. But throughout life, we deal with all kinds of different types of suffering. The first one is this, is spiritual warfare. Now, for the Christian, we sometimes think that everything is this first category. Now, I'll be real with you that we do have an enemy. That's coming in Ephesians chapter 6. His name is Satan, and he actively works against believers. And sometimes you will deal with that real spiritual opposition in your face to point you away from God, to get you to stumble, to get you to die. That's real, and that's for you, believer. That's coming. Matter of fact, it's already there. But that's one aspect. Church people like to think everything is that. But the second kind of suffering is consequence. And what that is you've messed up. So the suffering and pain that you're dealing with is your own fault. Now, Christian people, they love to go, oh, you know, like, perfect example. Maybe not perfect, but the one from my life. Right before Matthew, or Chris and I had Matthew, by we, I mean her, but before we had our son, I went to the ER. It was dumb, but I just was feeling sick, and so I love our medical care system and the insurance that I have, but like an hour and a half in the hospital was like the most expensive party I've ever had. You know, they gave me a good IV, but it wasn't that much. It was a very expensive trip. I forgot about that medical bill. We kind of had this thing with like a baby being born and everything. I forgot. It was expensive. They said pay on whatever the official term for when you're out of that cot, you best be signing check. Like, and I didn't pay. And months went by, and I forgot, and I don't check the mail very well. And so when I got an official call from a collection agency saying, you best pay now or else we're going to take that kidney back. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do anything. Like, that was me. And in that moment, I was so confused, and I was so frustrated, and I was so like, but I did not go, Lord, the demons are so crafty today. No, that was me. That was my fault. That was my consequence for my stupidity. A lot of that suffering and pain is because it's all on us. Third one real quick is situational. When you're young, you deal with a lot of situational suffering, unmet expectations. Things are not the way you want them to be. Never mind. Cancel that past, Garrett. Every season of life, you deal with that. Things are not the way you want them to be. Unmet expectations, and you are confused, and you are suffering because the situation you are in is dark and bleak, and you are frustrated. The fourth thing is this, relational suffering. Has anybody ever wronged you before? We have like three people. The rest of you are liars. Like, no, everyone's perfect to me. No one's ever talked to me bad on the internet. Relational. Somebody hurts you. Somebody gossips about you. Somebody is actively, for some reason, saying, I hate you and I want you to suffer. We deal with this. Another one is persecution, being mocked and ridiculed for your faith. If you're not being persecuted, if you're not being mocked, not being ridiculed, I gotta say, you might be doing something wrong, because it happens. And in that moment, we don't go, well, fine, and flip. No, we go, I love you, and I'm gonna keep on telling you about Jesus. But it's real. And the final one is this, and this is a huge category, which I think most of us are in right now, is just mystery. You don't know the purpose of this. You don't understand why you're in this situation. You can't go and say, okay, A plus B equals, that's why where we're at. That's why my family's torn apart. That's why my family member's sick. There is no purpose that you can see, so it's an absolute mystery. Many of us are there tonight. All of us will be there eventually. And in these moments, just go here with me, in these moments when we don't know why the suffering is taking place, we ask a lot of why questions. We ask, why is this happening to this person? Why, God, did you allow this to happen? Why, I thought I was good. Why are you causing this? Your child, I'm trying to follow you. Why is this happening in my life? And I want to plead with you and show you simply, you are not asking the right questions. The question they ask is not why. The question to ask is who. Not why, but who. Who is Jesus? And who are you because of him? Again, in the middle of mystery and suffering, the question to ask is not why, but who. Who is Jesus, and who are you in him? So let's start Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to go through this whole chapter tonight. And then we got Ephesians 4 next week with Wendell. I'm excited. Let's read the very first verse. That's how slow we're going tonight. Very first verse, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ on behalf of you Gentiles. Do we have it up here? Ephesians 3, chapter 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. We will stop right there. That's one verse. I'm sorry. Because I want to show you this. Everyone will suffer. Everyone will cause suffering. You cause affliction in other people's lives. You cause pain in other people's lives, and suffering will happen to you as well. For Paul, before Jesus knocked him, took him to the mat and said, you're mine now, get up, you're following me. He was a persecutor of Christians. He hated Christians. He caused Christianity to suffer greatly. He caused great suffering. And then when Christ said, you're mine, he suffered greatly for God. I've shared a lot. I love my homie Paul, but he suffered a lot. He got, and it's not just like a bad 10-second Snapchat, but it's like, not like, oh, no, oh, it's gone, but beaten, physically beaten, stoned, not the fun kind, the rock and the bat, like the bad, bad, they're both bad, but it was nasty. There was one instance where they stoned him to death. They said, he's dead, drag him out to the city. They dragged him out outside of the city gates, and people went and they prayed for him. He got back up, and he's like, I'm okay, and went back into that city and preached some more. That's a man right there. There was one moment, I just love this story. It's in Acts, like chapter 27, around there. He was imprisoned, where he's writing Ephesians in prison. He was in prison. They said, we got to move you. They brought him to a prison boat, as if it couldn't get, and that's not like, would you like some peanuts or some ginger ale? Like, it was like a nasty prison boat. And then in the middle of that, there was a shipwreck. So he's sitting there with Wilson trying to do his best to not die. And then so prison to prison boat to I just on a boat, flippy floppies, never mind. Shut up. Be quiet. I'm trying to preach. And then shipwrecked, and then he finally finds land. You read it for yourself. He goes up, finally finds land, and then he's bit by a poisonous snake. That is a bad day. I've never had that day in my life. Never, you know, at the end of my day, dear diary, it's like, I had a flat tire, must have been demons. No, I don't do that. But that's some pretty serious suffering. And he says right here, I am a prisoner for Christ. I love that. We'll talk about this in just a little bit, but Paul is literally penning this letter to his homies in Ephesus, where we get the name Ephesians, his church, in prison. So all that he says, take it with such an importance of like, these are in a like God-inspired letters from a guy who's in prison for God. So his tone, and when he talks about riches in Christ, that blank check, like Wendell said, of awesome richness in Christ, this is a guy in prison saying, we have treasures. I am filled with joy. God chose us. God loved us. This is a guy who's in serious suffering and persecution. So he says this, let's continue. Again, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, that it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs. We talked about that last week. They are members. They are fellow heirs, members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you, you guys still with me? I know I messed up those verses a little bit. Thanks for staying with me. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Paul shows us right here that in Christ, there is a purpose in your pain. There's a significance in your suffering. And let me break it down for you. Again, it is not if you will suffer, but how you will suffer. There's three things. No, there's more than that. I'll probably add six more points. It's all good. That he shows us that what God is doing in your suffering, what God is doing in your pain. And the first one is this. We have this slide. The first one is this: to show Christ to non-believers. This is massive. Do we have it up there? Thank you. To show Christ to non-believers. Your suffering, the purpose, the significance is to show Christ to non-believers. He says it right here in verse 8. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given. What grace? That while I'm in prison, I get to preach about Jesus and to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So I'm in prison. What am I doing? I'm so excited because I get to show Christ to non-believers, Paul says. An amazing example of this, of one of my man crushes. Sorry, Matt Chandler, Pastor Matt Chandler. I talk about him all the time. I'm sorry, I can't do it. I just love it. My son named after him, kind of, sort of, not really. Matt Chandler, an amazing pastor. He's pastor of the Village Church in Dallas, Texas. They have over 11,000 people. Like, that's, like, you think it's hard to connect here. Like, you know, that's, it's a huge church. It's a huge church. In 2009, I'm going to try my best to pronounce this, Matt Chandler, he was diagnosed with anaplastic oligodendroglioma. Yes. Massive brain tumor. 2009 Thanksgiving, he was hanging out with his children by the fireplace. He collapsed and began to convulse. They took him to the doctor. They said, we need to operate Friday. They told him, you have probably 2 to 3 years to live. This is a pastor of a huge church with a wife and kids. They said, we're gonna operate, and there's a 70% chance you'll lose all memory. There's a this percent chance that you won't be able to talk. This is a pastor who thinks with his brain, speaks a lot. Again, you have 2 to 3 years to live. Massive suffering. Massive mystery. Why God, if Matt was the lead pastor of the church, that you're causing him to die now 2, 3 years. Massive mystery. And this is so great. And you can watch this online. He got in front of his people, though it was horrible. And he talks about how angry and frustrated and filled with doubt he was. And his wife and him just wept about, I can't see my son read. It's his son. I just know too much about him. You know, you can't watch him graduate or get married, all their children. But he said this, and I'll make sure I get it right. He said, I'm so honored. I'm so honored that Christ would consider me worthy to proclaim his goodness through this. That's a man who's caught a glimpse of the goodness of Christ. In the middle of brain cancer, he says, I am so honored to be counted worthy to show the goodness of Christ in this. And it was an incredible thing because the secular world, the non-believing world, did not know what to do with this. There's a man with influence. He has 11,000 people in his church. And there were multiple radio stations and TV interviews. They did not know what to do with that. I still don't know what to do with that. What do you mean you have brain cancer and you're saying honored and worthy and you love God still? And it was an incredible opportunity to show Christ to the non-believing world. Now, the incredible thing is this, is he's been healed. He's still preaching, still being awesome. But in the middle of that suffering, he didn't go, okay, I'm done with you, God, I'm done with Bible, I'm done with everything. But he realized that there was a significance to his suffering, again, a purpose to his pain. And he said, I'm going to show the world the glories of Christ because brain cancer or not, my God is still good. And he got to. And guys, you can do the same. You flip people out. You're in the middle of your darkest moment and you're saying, let me tell you how good my God is. Because he's good whether the situation gets better or not. Your unbelieving friends, people that do not know God, they will be so like, that's amazing. And the second thing is this, is that your suffering, your pain, it has a purpose to empower believers. I'll show you right here in verse 11. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you, Paul says to his friends, his church, do not lose heart over what I am suffering for you. It's your glory. He's saying to his youth group, if I could say that, to his church, I'm suffering. Do not lose heart. Do not lose faith. We're going to get through this. I'm going to get through this, and I'm going to show you this. And there's an empowerment he's giving to his church. That our God is still good, right? And I can just see him like, yes, you're in prison, Paul, but we love you, and we love our God. And he's empowering his friends, his family in Christ. And this is hard, and this is bold. But what we need from you, if you're in the middle of your suffering, is first, you got to be careful. Again, I say it a lot, but thread that needle. Because I'm not asking you to give a false facade of everything's awesome. You know, no. Everything is not good and we're having a good day. No. I'm not asking for that. But I'm asking for you to be transparent and saying, let me show you where I'm at. Or let me show you what God has led me through. And no, it was not good. And no, it was not painless. But in the end, I love my Savior. And I tell you what, the suffering that you're in right now, if you cling to him, it'll be worth it in the end because you get God in the end. He'll make it work for your good. I can't tell you how much we need that. I pleaded with our church a few Sundays back for them, the older people, to grab you guys and say, let me tell you about how good God's been to me. Because they're seasoned saints. They've seen more than us, seen more than you. But you know, you can do the same thing to your peers, the same thing to people that are younger than you or older than you. So many of you have such better testimony stories than me, you know? You can come out and be like, you know what? I walked through this horrible pain, but God was good. That is powerful currency. You can't keep that to yourself. You need to be bold and you need to share that because it's empowering. Here, try this. If you're in the middle of a situation, or when you were in the middle of a suffering situation, wouldn't it have encouraged you if somebody said, you know what, I walked through something really similar, and it feels this way, because they can truly, they don't even have to empathize, because they understand. It's not like, oh, I could see how that would hurt. No, they know. Not with me. That would have been helpful, or that is helpful, isn't it? I know exactly what you're going through, because I went through that, or I went through something very similar, and it would have encouraged you, or it does encourage you, doesn't it? You can be that for someone. Empower. Strengthen. And the third one is this, to draw you closer to God. Let me read to you Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. This is so good. The next slide, it says this. For this reason, now I've told you this before, what's the reason behind the reason? So for this reason, what reason? I'm suffering, I'm in prison, I'm preaching Christ. God's still good. So for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Again, not why, but who. Who is Jesus and who are you in Christ? The title of tonight's message, I had to get through all that to tell you that the week, where is it? It's right here. I am heard. I am heard. Because this is so cool. In the middle of Paul's suffering, literally sitting in prison, not a nice prison, a nasty, horrible prison, he prays to his Heavenly Father. And I want everyone looking at me because this is so massive. He's in real persecution. Paul's life ends with him getting his head cut off. Horrible persecution. In the middle of this horrible suffering, what does he do? Does he lose hope? Does he give up? He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. And I love it. I'm going to break down what he says. He reminds himself of who he is. He says, God, you are my Father. I am your child. And he reminds himself of his position because of Christ in his prayer. He reminds himself that I have riches in glory in you. And then he prays, I'll read it again, that you might be strengthened. He says, God, please strengthen me with you in my inner being. Christ, dwell in my heart. Give me faith. In the middle of uncertainty, in the middle of suffering, in the middle of pain, Paul is telling us so incredibly by his own example, in the middle of your pain, you are heard by your amazing, loving Father. That your position is Christ. Like, if you can picture with me, like, to enter into the throne room of a king was something incredibly nerve-wracking in the time of kings. It was not something you ever really got to do, and if you did, you better be really careful because he might in a moment go, okay, you're done. Go kill him. I don't like him. He's not funny. It was an absolute honor beyond honor beyond honor to approach the king, and you were fearful, and you were so worried, but because of Christ, this is so awesome that we approach the King of Kings, but we have confidence. We can approach his throne room, and God says, hey, my son, my daughter, did you feel that incredible weight being lifted of the infinite God of the universe who holds everything together? Do this next time you pray, which we're about to do in just a moment. I did it a few weeks ago in a staff meeting, and I got flipped out, and I had to stop for a second. Like, it was an awesome God moment. Like, the infinite, close your eyes. I'm taking you somewhere. Close your eyes. The infinite God of the universe spoke everything into existence. The whole massive space of cosmology, and yes, the earth and all of its atmosphere, and yes, this town and you, and we can go micro, that your internal organs, everything about you is being held together by his power, by his word, all of that massive, grandiose power. And he says to you, Austin Thompson, I'm listening. That when you pray, you literally grab the ear, the attention of the infinite God of the universe. It's pretty massive, isn't it? When I started to think about that, my brain went like, oh man, I better think about what I'm saying because this is really important. Like, it's awesome. You can open your eyes, look back up. But again, this is your Heavenly Father. So what Paul does for us is he shows us that in the middle of our suffering, it is an opportunity. The significance, the purpose of that pain is to draw you closer to God. He's in the middle. Can you picture him? He's in the middle of prison, bowing his knees with chains on his arms and legs, saying, Father, Strengthen me. Because he knew he was heard by his king. He knew that his God was listening. And I think the greatest thing, and one final section of verses that is one of my go-to end zone verses. Let me show it to you. Ephesians 3, beginning of verse 20. If we can show it, I want to go through it real slowly because it is so massive. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to say that again because I don't think it hits you like it hits me. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We are heard by the God of the universe who tells us that he is able to do in our lives far abundantly more than all that we ask or think. That's Bible. That all that we want, all that we ask, God says, speak to me, I'm listening, and your circumstances and your pain, that's nothing. I can do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power, his power at work in us. Now, I have a hard time with this because I'm a big, big supporter of the sovereignty of God. Absolutely, amen, to the day I die. But then there's crazy things that I read in the scriptures that say things like, we have not because we've asked not. That God can move on our behalf. And I just want to show you and I want to empower you and hopefully you can catch it. That in the middle of your sorrow, in the middle of your pain, in the middle of your uncertainty, God says, talk to me. Ask me to move in your life because I can do, again, far more abundantly than all that you ask or think. And that's pretty massive. I have a pretty ADD-filled brain. And he's saying, whatever you can think of, whatever you can ask for, I can do far more abundantly than that. So what I want to do tonight is this, very, very simple. I had one more point and I cut it because I wanted us to practice this. I'm gonna have first just all the adult leaders just spread out around the sides. But then I'm going to have you guys move in just a little bit as well. What I'd like to do is give all of us an opportunity to pray, to seek God, and then also to be prayed for. And if you're not comfortable with that, that's totally fine. My manager at Staples does not believe in God. Today she asked me, can you pray for my grandpa? Or she asked me to pray for her dad. So even if you don't believe in God, what's the harm in being prayed for, right? He doesn't exist. Why does it matter? But I hope everyone tonight prays, or at least is prayed for. And what would be so cool is in just a moment, I'm gonna ask you to be bold, to step up and just come here. Come here along this, and we want to pray for you. And it'll be so cool. I want you guys to be praying for one another. But then also, if you want one-on-one prayer, these are your leaders. They love you so much. And they're real people who I know some of their stories. They've dealt with real pain. Let's ask our loving Father, who is also the infinite God of the universe, to move on our behalf tonight. And knowing that he is still good regardless of circumstance. But also knowing that he can move. He can make things better. Even when it seems so dark, so impossible, he's listening. And he's hearing your prayers. He's hearing your pain. He's hearing and knowing about every single tear. And he loves you. So let's do this. Go ahead. If you have music playing, go ahead and play it. Right now, I'll be the first one to be right here. I'd love everyone to stand up. And if you're comfortable, come forward. I want you to pray. And we'll come and pray, lay hands on you and pray for you. If you want to be prayed for a leader, they're right here. If you want to pray in your seat, that's fine. But I want us all up here if you're comfortable with that. Let's go right now. Let's pray. Let's seek God. Let's ask him to move. Let's ask him to move on our behalf and in light of our circumstances. God, we need you. We're going to do this for 5-10 minutes. And you know what, leaders? If no one comes to you, you go to them. And you pray for them. Let's focus in, guys. Let's pray.